the genie looked at me and said, I'll give you one wish. I said, I just want to be happy. The rest of my dream, I was living in a cottage from sixth floor working in a mine. Yeah. All right. Get your Bible out. We're going to finish this up today. This is where the whole thing was going to go to begin with, and between Mother's Day and other things, we kind of got pulled to the side. Here we go. The After Easter Special. Amen. So we're still talking from the book of Ruth, and God is so good to us. It is amazing how He takes care of us. And that we know, that we know, that we know that God has got us. Ruth, chapter 1. Ruth, chapter 1. Stand for the reading of the word. Then she arose with her daughter-in-laws that they might return. Let me just go to verse 5. Makes a whole lot more sense. And Mahlon and Chilion died also both of them. So the women were left of her two sons and her husband. In other words, all male support was gone. Then she arose with her daughter-in-laws that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughter-in-laws, go, return each to her mother's house, and the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant ye that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted their voice and wept. And then she said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters, why will you go with me? Are there yet any of my sons in the womb, that thou may be your husband, somebody my kinsman redeemer? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should say I have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, my sister-in-law is gone back unto the people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to return from following you. For where you goest, I go, and where thou lodgest, I lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where thou die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfast and minded to go with her, then she left speaking with her, and they said, let her rip. Amen. Ain't God good?
All the time.
That's right. Put your hands this way. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I know, God, that you are alive and on the throne. And God, I know, Lord, that no matter what we may go through in this life, you are still alive on the throne and in control. I ask you right now, Lord, to minister to us. And through us, God, in a very powerful way. Lord, we know, God, that we can do nothing without you. We have to have you, and I thank you for being in our lives, Lord. And when it looks like there is no hope, just like with Ruth, Lord, that you still provide hope because we have you to look to. In the name of Jesus, we love you, and we praise your name in the church sense.
Amen.
On the way down, tell somebody the past is behind us, the future is ahead of us, God is with us, and nothing shall be impossible. Amen. So now, just we're going to kind of pick up where we were at several weeks ago. We were talking about Boaz. Now we're going to just briefly touch Boaz, then we're going straight on to Jesus, okay? So look here. I want you to remember this. This is very powerful. Know that the cross was real, History cannot deny it. They try to, but they can't. They cannot deny that the cross was real. It had, they can't deny it. Jesus had a purpose with this cross. He had a price, and he felt the pain, but it was the price of redemption. So remember, keep this all in mind, redemption's price. Now, redemption's price was not easy. It cost. I mean, it really, really cost. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And John 8:36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." And this again points to a very, very powerful picture of how God always makes a way. Let's say it always makes a way. All right. So we're going to talk about his Redeemer. Get ready. Here's redemption's picture. This is what Jesus did on the cross. The Old Testament makes a way of redemption. And it's to those whose family line has been endangered through death, destruction, or death. Think about it. Death, destruction, or death. Then he has made a way for this person to find redemption. Amen? So it's the law of the kinsman redeemer, Leviticus 25:5-6. And it says, "If your brothers dwell together and one of them died and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. His husband's brother shall go in unto her and take her as a wife and perform the duty of a husband's brother unto you." Okay, "and it shall be that the firstborn which she bear shall succeed in the name of his brother which is dead, that his name be not put out in Israel." Leviticus 25:25, it says, "If a fellow countryman of yours becomes so poor that he has to sell his property, his nearest kinsman can come and buy back what his relative has sold or what his relative has lost." So, real quick, the kinsman redeemer, the law of the kinsman redeemer is very simple. It has to be the person, it has to be a near kinsman. He can't be just a stranger. He's got to be a near kinsman. The power, he must be free himself. Because if he's not free himself, then he can't free you. A drowning man can't save another drowning man. And the price, he must have the price. And he must be willing to pay this price. And not only must he be willing to pay this price, but he's got to make it a priority. He has to complete this process completely, where he has to marry, if it's because of the death of a brother, he has to marry his brother's wife and have a child with her so that the family line can continue on. And so this is a very, very, very powerful thing. And you'll find this nowhere else other than God's got things worked out. Amen? So, we've been talking about it for a couple of weeks. I'm just going to throw it up there quickly. And that is, Boaz was a picture of what Jesus was going to do, because Boaz was that man. In the beginning of the book of Ruth, everything is falling apart. I mean, falling apart. But at the end of the book of Ruth, life has been put back together again. Not just put back together, but better than it was before it fell. And it all has to do with the kinsman redeemer. So here it is. Boaz is this man. He was the kinsman, the near kinsman, because the actual near kinsman didn't want to do it, because he was going to do everything but marry Ruth because she was a Moabite. He had the power. He was free himself. He had the price to pay for all this, and he was willing to pay, and he made it a priority. He was going to complete the process. I like what the word Boaz means from the name Boaz. Boaz is a compound word. It means strength. And it means swift. Strength and swift. So when you think about it, Boaz had the strength to do what he had to do, but he didn't play around about it. He was swift. Let's get it done. I know we can do this. Don't you like to be around somebody that likes to get it done? Amen. Don't just teeter-totter around and have to wait. You've got to weigh things out, but still, when you know that you got a decision to make, go ahead and make it. So he had strength, but he also was swift, and he went swiftly to take care of this situation. So now, y'all get ready. Here it is. Remember, God's looking for a lot of Boazes. The big thing I like about Boaz is, number one, is he wanted to get it done. He wanted to take care of business. But number two, he didn't want to choose size and looked down on somebody because they weren't like him. Amen? He was an awesome dude. So, it's easy to look down on Ruth because she's a Moabitess. But let me tell you something, we're all in the same boat. There's none of us perfect. None of us are worthy. God sent his son because of that. And we too need to be a redeemer. But unlike Ruth, ours has a much heavier role to fulfill. Ruth had a debt that had to be paid, and she wound up with this field, but we have a debt that no man can pay. And that's the sin debt. There's no man on this earth that can pay your sin debt. So, God made a way, and here it goes. Get ready. Jesus Christ is our kinsman redeemer. Now, here's why he's our kinsman redeemer. Look at his position. He must be near of kin. He became just like us. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Hebrews 2:17, the Amplified Version. It says, so it is evident that it was essential that he be made like his brethren in every respect in order that he might become a merciful, sympathetic, and faithful high priest in the things related to God to make atonement and propitiation for the people's sin. Next, he had to be able to redeem his possession. Jesus was able to do this. Why? Look at this. Hebrews 9 and verse 12. He went once for all into the Holy of Holies of heaven. Not by the virtue of the blood of goats and calves, but to make reconciliation between God and man, but his own blood, having found and secured a complete redemption and everlasting release for us. Now, it is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. All it did was atone. So until Jesus came, the blood of bulls and goats just kept covering sin. When John the Baptist saw Jesus, what did he say? Behold the Lamb of God who does what? Covers up our sin?
Takes away
our sin. It's gone. In order for this to happen, Job told God, said, you don't know how I feel. You have no idea how I feel going through this pain because there's no daysman between us. And now, let me just tell you something. When he argued with God, a lot of times God got him. And God was getting him, but in this situation, he was very truthful. God had no idea what Job, as far as feeling the pain, he had no idea because he had never felt pain. And because he's God, he will never feel pain. So he can be sympathetic, he can be empathetic, and he can feel pain in his heart, but he can't feel pain. He said, you have no idea. There's no daysman between us. Jesus is the daysman. Jesus is 50% God and 50% man. He's not 90% God and 10% man. He is 100% God and 100% man. He's the God-man. Matter of fact, he had to be 100% God to have the price. He had to be 100% man to pay the price. So, God can't die, but a man can. But man can't pay this price, but God can. So Jesus was 100% God, 100% man. The innocent had to die for the guilty. So it's very, very, very powerful. You also need to be willing to redeem. That's his passion. Let me tell you something. Jesus was willing to do it. Look at this. Look. Philippians 2:5-8, New Living Translation. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. And when they were taking him away, and Pilate said, don't you know I got the power to free you? Here's what he said. Look, no man takes it away from me, but I lay down my lay down my life of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. So he was willing to do it. And then finally, redemption, I love that, paid in full. Your sins have been paid in full. Let me just stop there for a minute. How many in here have a tendency to, how many here has done some stuff in the past that you really didn't care for now and you wish you'd never done it? Okay. How many in here know somebody that has messed up? Whether they admit it to you or not, you know they messed up and they hurt you. Alright. If they've asked God to forgive them, or you've asked God to forgive you, why do you keep beating yourself up over something that Jesus Christ has already paid in full? I think this right here, as I minister to people, just about every day, I find somebody that is beating themselves up over something that they've already given to God. And they keep beating themselves up over. What does paid in full mean? It's over. The bill's gone. The wildest thing when my mama was sick and her doctor found out, and daddy, I can't even know how many, she had six open heart surgeries, or something, four open heart surgeries, but two or three other through the leg, and all this kidney and her legs removed, all this stuff, just so much was going on, and dad only had supplemental policy. And he was making payments to the hospital. He would never have got that thing paid off. And when the doctor finally told my mom, said, I'm going to send you home. We found a tumor in your stomach. After all this work, they're taking both legs off. They're trying to keep her kidneys going. She's on dialysis five times a day, peritoneal dialysis and all this stuff. And they thought he was getting somewhere, and then this tumor appeared. And so the doctor told her and my daddy, said, I'm so sorry, but I give you 2 months at the most to live. I'm sending you home. And Daddy said, are you sure? And the doctor said, yes. And so Daddy said, well, if you've only got 2 months to live, I'll just call my boss, because he always worked out of town, sometimes out of state in construction. He said, I'll just call my boss and tell him I won't be back. When my wife dies, I'm spending all my time with her. I'll be there for her, do what I gotta do. And the doctor said, and then he heard him thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars. The doctor said, if you're that kind of man that'll do that for his wife, consider my bill paid in full. In the mail, a few days later, came a bill from him. I can't even tell how many thousands of dollars it was. And I saw paid in full. And so all you got to do is get your dad to sign it. It's not going to leave your mom. Get your dad to sign it and bring it here. Consider it paid. And so he wrote mama entirely the whole bill off. And then he came to see mama. And he told daddy, he said, I know you owe all this money to the hospital for her heart and all this. He said, guess what? That's gone too. Paid in full. He said, if you ever get another bill from anybody for your wife, you bring it to me because it's paid in full. And all those hundreds of thousands of dollars is gone. And it just used to blow me away that somebody would do that, and had the power to do that. And then think about Jesus. How much we owe him? How much mess have we caused? What kind of trouble have we got in? How many times have we blown it and said, God, I'll never do it again? You know, I tell God, I'm sorry I blew it, God. I'm so sorry. Help me out. With your help, I'll never do it again. He goes, I can see what I'm here doing. Yeah, you are. But just like with Daddy, when Doc said it's paid in full, it was paid in full. And he said, then when he took care of all the other bills that Mama had, Jim, Pickleball Hospital, so much money, it was all gone. He said, anything else, bring it to me, it's gone. We can do it with Jesus Christ. If you ever mess up again, all you got to do is say, Father, I'm sorry. I've done it again. Forgive me. And guess what? Paid in full. Very, 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 very powerful. So now, get ready. I'm getting ready to close. Believe it or not. We ain't got to believe it, but I'm going to blow you away this time. Redemption was completed when the price was completely paid. Jesus paid the complete price for our sin. John 19 and 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. If you look into other gospels, you'll find out he cried with a loud voice. You got to remember something. Here's a guy that's dying. As his blood is draining out of his body, his lungs are filled up with fluid. When they come and stuck the spear in his side, water and blood flew out because his lungs were filled up. The seven stands on the cross, they had to be getting weaker and weaker and weaker. One of the last things he said he cried with a loud voice, it is finished. Our redemption is a complete redemption, not partial. God didn't just took care of a few things. It's complete. He didn't say, if you promise to be a good boy, you promise to be a good girl, we got it done. It's complete. And he completed what he started. There's nothing else needed to complete it or bring it to pass. It is finished. Here we are. Get ready. Brandon, come on up here. Get ready to play something. Jesus is our man. Our kinsman redeemer. He was a kinsman. He was free himself. He had the price. He was willing to pay it. And he completed the process. Jesus means Jehovah redeems. Jehovah saves. Jehovah redeems. He said he will redeem again. Here he is. He is our kinsman redeemer. So now, watch this. Jesus didn't say, I am finished. He said, it is finished, your redemption. The price. Matter of fact, he was not finished. He was just getting started. Everybody stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I just have this feeling that there's somebody or maybe more in here today. There's been things in your life that you did that you're not proud of and nobody even knows about it, but you and God. And Satan keeps beating you up over it. You can't rest because your mind is always at work and you keep hearing things like, you're so sorry. If you really were a Christian, you wouldn't have. I can't believe you did this. And usually when Satan's talking to you in your head, guess what voice he uses? Your own voice. So you're talking to yourself, Satan's talking to you, talking to yourself about how bad you've been, how you're not worthy, blah, 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 blah. And you're here today, not by accident. It's time to let yourself off the hook. The kinsman redeemer took care of it. It is finished. He took care of it. Take yourself off the hook. Jesus was our kinsman. He was free himself. He had the power. He was kinsman. He had the power. He was free himself. He had the price. He was willing to pay it, and he completed it. Going back to Ruth, one day she's in the field gleaning in the welfare system, and at night she owns the field. Some of you in here haven't felt peace in a long time because you keep beating yourself up and beating yourself up, beating yourself up. Satan's beating you up. And you need to understand, there's peace. There's peace. Because God, he forgives. He don't partially forgive. He fully forgives. And he won't bring it back up again. So if it's coming back up, it's not God. And remember, the Holy Spirit does not condemn you. He convicts you. It's Satan that condemns you. Satan points at you and reminds you of your sin. And God looks at you and points at the cross and says, look what I did for you. Today, right now, we're going to pray, let us off the hook prayer. And I want you to always remember this day. This is the day that I accepted. It is finished. Ready? Father, say it with me. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that you paid everything for me. I thank you, God, that it's a complete redemption. And today, God, with your help, I'm letting myself off of the hook. Father, help me to trust the kinsman redeemer to take care of business. And today, I'm going to be walking in peace because I thank you for what you did. In the name of Jesus. Give the Lord a hand clap. God is awesome
all the time.
All the time.
That was awesome.
One more prayer, and then we're going to pray for y'all. And then we're going to say the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to hand Father, also, Lord, for somebody here today, Lord, that needs to come back to you. Let this be the day. Convict them and convince them and let them know that the condemnation is not coming from God. God gently convicts so that you will take what he's got. But nobody's looking around, every head's bowed, every eye's closed. If you want to come back, you don't have to even come up here. Just put that hand up. I need it. And then one more thing. You want to get closer to God, put that hand up. That's when you get closer. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for your closeness and your ability to take care of business. You got this, and we trust you with it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The church said,
amen.
Amen. Now, we're going to say the Lord's Prayer, and after we say the Lord's Prayer, we're going to dismiss us in prayer. Ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this day and for bringing us here to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we thank you for what you have done for us, that you made a way where no way seemed possible. Father, I pray that we would accept forgiveness and that we would also ask for it, that we would live our lives for you, that we would let our light shine for you wherever we go, and that we would, that you would use us to win souls for your kingdom. Lord, be with us now as we leave. Protect us and keep us safe and bring us back to the next point of time. Lord, and please help those that are in need for comfort and strength. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to go to the next one.